Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Happy weekend, Tampa Bay. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, presented all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry. The Tampa Bay Lightning this week, so-so in the record books. 8 points available to our Lightning, and they procured 4 of them. What happened since last we spoke? Well, we beat the Vegas Golden Knights Friday evening, 3-2, turn around on Saturday. We're still in the desert. We go to Arizona, lose that game 7-1. Vegas flew. I'll talk about that in a moment. Then Tuesday night, we host the New Jersey Devils and absolutely obliterate a red-hot Devils team. Beat them 8-3, followed by last night, a loss to Nashville. That score reads 4-1, but I'm going to talk about that game in great detail today on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, because that's about as happy as I'll ever be walking out of a game, win or loss, if you're just talking about the product on the ice. So, back to last week very quickly. We beat Vegas 3-2. A couple of injuries on the road trip as we finish it 3-1-1. You grab 7 of 10 points in a 5-game road trip. You can't be angry with that. Victor Hedman goes down. Andre Palat goes down. Hedman, of course, is a massive piece to the puzzle, and he was said to be day-to-day. But he's not going to play through this weekend. At least that's what John Cooper said to the media yesterday. So you're out without your biggest piece to the puzzle on defense. That sucks. Andre Palat, he's a top six forward and a really good defensive forward. He's also day-to-day. Doesn't look like he's going to play over the weekend. It's not critical territory yet for the Lightning. They're not injured on injured reserve or anything like that. But those are two big pieces to be without as you go on the road tomorrow to face Montreal, who's played a lot better than expectations. And then on Sunday, we play in Ottawa against a bad Senators team. But the Vegas flu is something that the NHL has been talking about for the better part of a year. And I'm putting my quote fingers up when I say flu. It's just kind of an understood that when professional teams go out to Las Vegas, they may enjoy the sights and the sounds a little bit. There's still some new car smell to it. And even if there wasn't, it is Las Vegas. So typically, the game after a team plays the Vegas Golden Knights, they have dropped off this season. That is something that odds makers have looked at, and I'm sure they are prepared for moving forward. The Lightning are no exception. Probably enjoyed a little bit too late of a night on Friday as they lose to the Coyotes 7-1. Or if they didn't, they just played through a massive amount of tired bodies in order to win 3-2 on Friday. The Bolts got to Las Vegas late Wednesday into Thursday, and who knows what happened after that. But all in all, if you split the 4 points, you get 2 of them to finish out a road trip in which you play a Minnesota, Chicago against a really good Colorado team, which we talked about last week, and then you split against Vegas and Arizona, you're in good shape. The win over New Jersey was really impressive. It was marked by a second period power play string where Braden Point puts you on the board. You take the lead in the second, but then call after call after call goes against New Jersey. They can't keep up with our speed. We get a power play goal, a 5-on-3 goal. We just keep pouring it on, and the game is over from there. And then last night against Nashville, I honestly believe this is the best hockey game the Lightning has played all season long. And you might say, Tom, we just got done with last week you talking about how we completely dominated the Blackhawks. 33 shots in one period. It was the second period up at United Center. How could that be possible that the best game we played all season long is against Nashville, a 4-1 loss? Well, the answer is very simple. Number one, Nashville is the second best team in the league entering last night in terms of point percentage. We were number one. So quality of opponent, Nashville against a team like Chicago or even New Jersey from earlier in the week, you're playing in a league that's reserved for the elite. Number two, if you actually watched the game and did not look at the box score, we made Nashville look like the Buffalo Sabres of the last 2 or 3 seasons. The way we dominated, especially in the second and third periods, was clinical. I thought we had the better of the first period play, but we were in the worst case scenario. We're down 2-0 at the first intermission. For the first 20 minutes, the game is fairly even, but we control the puck. We play more physical. We're in their zone for a longer period of time, and we blow a situation at the end where Stamkos is not picking up his man in front of the net, and they have an easy goal to go up 2-0 with just 10 seconds to go in the first period. Up here in Tallahassee, former coach Jimbo Fisher, his name is Mud. He's not very well liked here because of the way he left the program, but he said something that I still think is very true and applies to all sports. You can play well and play poorly in situations and lose, or you can play not so well, but you play very, very well in certain situations, special teams, or in football it'll be red zone, and you convert for touchdowns instead of kick field goals, and you can win a game. For the Lightning last night, it was the former of the two. They played exceptional hockey all night long, did not cash in when they had point-blank chances, and they played poorly in one situation, which was the final minute of play in the first period, and that proved to be the back-breaking goal. We're chasing 2-1 for the bulk of last night's game. We're down 2-0 at the break. We get one closer on a goal from Slater Cuckoo in the second period, but it was that two-goal deficit that we just couldn't overcome. And it's because we fell asleep at the wheel at the end of the first period. John Cooper lamented at the end of last night's game that it was just broken coverages, breakdowns. Not picking up and marking who we should be marking was the reason we lost the hockey game. And if you look at that play, I don't know what our defensive structure calls for in that situation, but it's hard not to think that 91 should be on Nashville's open shooter in front of the net. And Stamkos wasn't. So instead of being down 1-0 at the break, you're down 2-0. And that first goal was a classic playoff goal. It was a goal that you shoot from the point and you hope. It's going to play pinball. Hopefully it pinballs into the net for us. And for Kyle Turris, that's exactly what happened. Puck bounces through a couple of sticks, hits his. It's just below the crossbar in terms of the elevation of where his stick blade is. Goes in the net, 1-0 Nashville. That thing was going to go wide of the net had it not been deflected. Nothing you can do about that goal. Second one, you can control that. And unfortunately, we blew a coverage there. But that's the negative. I'm focusing on the positive here. If you look at the amount of chances that we had, especially in that second period, point blank chances to score a goal, they number 10 to 12. And you only come away with one of them. That's hockey being hockey. That's a good goalie playing well. And on a night like that, you tip your cap. It's not the playoffs. It's not the end of the world. You just look at the balance of how we approach the game, and we approach the game the right way. Over the course of the Joe Bolts Fan podcast here on the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, you've heard me mad about victories, and you've heard me buoyed by losses. I have hardly been as buoyed by a loss as this one, because it's all about how you play the game. If we duplicate the effort from Thursday night against Nashville, against the bulk of our opponents, we're going to be A-OK. And there's a couple of things I've seen that has me feeling very excited about where this team could go when we get to winning time in the postseason. The thing that has me most excited is that we are playing more physical across the board. You look at certain role players like Anthony Cirelli or Mikhail Sergachev, and you see more of a physical signature to their game than you've seen before. They're growing into their bodies. They're growing into the NHL player that they're going to become. The fourth line of Callahan and Paquette and Ernie, three physical players, all healthy right now, but three physical players who are not afraid to throw it around. Check the hit disparity in the box score last night. Tampa Bay is out-hitting Nashville 3-1 for most of the game. That's not typically our signature, but if you're going against a team that is defense first, the way Nashville is, you take it to them physically, you command control of the puck, you take them out of the game, you can't be mad about where the chips may fall at that point. Consider, too, that Nashville did not mail this game in. There will be times over the course of 82 where you catch a team that's as talented as you are on a night where they just don't care to be there. That wasn't the case with Nashville. They came to play last night, and that first period was very competitive. but we did a really, really good job of taking over the game and taking their will out of their play. Just so happened that they came out on top. The last goal, of course, is an empty netter. And their third goal, the decisive one, it was a backbreaker with a couple of minutes to go, or whatever it was, 4 or 5 minutes to go, was one in which you're paying the price for being aggressive. You're selling out. You're going for the win. I've got zero problem with that. You're going to hear me complain a lot about this Tampa Bay Lightning team over the course of, you know, every week. We do a weekly podcast here for the balance of 6 months. I'll be mad at times. And we could have a better record over the week than we do now. You grab just 50% of the points available to you. That's not great. We could grab all of the points, and I might be more mad than I am today. One thing that I do want to talk about, big picture today, and it's not a positive, it is Steven Stamkos. Stamkos' season is starting to get to that point now that we're closing in on 15 games. It's starting to get to that point where you're going, all right, dude, I kind of need you to get hot here. Stamkos, as a goal scorer, we know, is quite streaky. That's his MO. They come in bunches. They come in fives and tens in a 15-game span. I mean, he just, or 7 to 15-game span. Here he comes. Bam, bam, bam. Every time you look up, Stamkos is at 14 goals. He's at 18 goals. Holy cow, he's at 23 goals already? They seem to come in chunks. And right now, we're through 12 games. He's got two. He's got just two goals. And while I get he's the name on the marquee, he's the player featured on the posters, the banners, the truth about Steven Stamkos is this. He is not one of your top three players on this team, and he's fighting to be a top five player on this team right now. Braden Point is the best player all around on this team. Braden Point's got 14 points through 12 games. He's a plus eight. You know, only 7 of Tampa Bay's 20 skaters right now are a plus in the plus minus. That's not a stat that tells the entire story, but it can give you a good idea about where you stand in terms of you represent yourself in playing a two-way game. Braden Point does a great job of that. We all know that. He could have 10 points right now, and I'd still say he's a better player than Stamkos. He wins you big faceoffs. He goes against the opponent's number one line, and he provides offense while doing all of that, and it looks effortless. Moreover, he's a more valuable asset to you because he's cheaper. He's under $1 million a year, and he's 22 years old. The guy is a complete hockey player. For my money, he is your best player on this team. Nikita Kucherov is your number one scorer on this team. He's more consistent. He's more of a point-of-game player, and he's not even red hot yet. I thought last week on this podcast we saw signs of Nikita Kucherov coming out of a goal-scoring slump where he was going to go crazy himself. The difference between Kucherov and Stamkos is Nikita will still score goals while he's not going well. And then when he does, he scores in bunches on top of the normal production rate. But Nikita's a better player, more valuable player for you right now than Stamkos is. Victor Hedman, he's hurt, but he is a more valuable player on this roster than Steven Stamkos is. He's going to give you, if you need it, 27 to 30 minutes a night. That's not how you're going to play it in the regular season, but if you need him to play big-time minutes, he will. He's a Norris Trophy-winning defenseman. More valuable to you than Steven Stamkos. Andre Vasilevsky. See where I'm going here? Are you getting down the list? These are all undeniable truths that all of these players I've listed are more valuable to you than Stamkos. Andre Vasilevsky is one of the backbones of this team. Had it not been for his efforts in weeks 2 to 3 of this season, we're probably not in first place right now. He's come down a little bit in statistics, but honestly, he is every bit a top-flight goaltender in this league. Got a .930 save percentage so far through 9 games. Goals against is a little high, .209, but that's not bad at all. That's still well above average. And he's tracking the puck brilliantly so far this season, too. The whole thing about watching 88 play is how square is he to the shooter and how quickly is he pushing off to his right, how quickly is he pushing off to his left. If he is square, he's going to make the save. He's a big body. I think in the beginning of his career, we were so spoiled with how big of a body Ben Bishop was at 6'7", that you look at Andre Vasilevsky and think, well, we're giving up a lot here. He's not as big as Ben. He's still 6'3". He's a big player, rangy player. Incredible flexibility is all these goalies have, but it's his anticipation. It's the speed with which he gets post to post. And you can tell when he's not tracking the puck well. He's tracking the puck very well right now. Makes a glove save in the first period last night. We had a breakdown. I think it was a 2 or 3 on 1. A gorgeous glove save where he is square to the shooter. If he's square, he's going to make the save. Point blank. Biggest bad goal he gave up this year was on the road against Minnesota a couple weeks ago. It was the overtime goal. Completely whiffed on that one. But it's just, it's such a rarity. It shocks you when it happens. We're a long way away from those Matthew Garon days. That's for certain. But Steven Stamkos is not one of your top three players. And he's borderline top five right now. His plus minus is atrocious. His goal scoring is down. And if it continues to be down this year, that means it's 2 years in a row that he's not scoring 30. He's a high-maintenance player. He's somebody that you have to surround with top-flight people who can get him the puck. There are some superstar players in the NHL that it doesn't matter who you put him with. They'll get the puck if they need to, and they'll finish the job if they need to. Stammer's game has evolved over the years, specifically last year, where he, at least on the stat sheet, reads as more of a playmaker than he does a goal scorer. But make no mistake, this is a big season for Steven, and it's not starting off swimmingly. We're winning in spite of it, but don't let us get on a 3 or 4 game losing streak. We're going to notice it all the more. Today's Joe Bolts Fan Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Bill Curry Ford. I've got some rapid-fire thoughts very quickly before we say goodbye for the week. Usually we do 2 segments, but this week we're in the flow of the season. This is already, we're at what, 16, 17 minutes? And I've got some rapid-fire thoughts on this roster before we say goodbye for the week. And I'm just going to go through everybody on our stat sheet right now, not the young kids who haven't played yet, and I'm going to give you some quick thoughts. But we're going to do it with some NHL Tonight music underneath it. So we're going to fire that up right after this word from Bill Curry Ford, and then let's get to it.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts Fan, Joe Bucks Fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
And here we go. Rapid fire thoughts heading into the weekend. Braden Point, best player on the ice. He's got 14 points in 12 games played, but the plus 8's a huge number. 48% in the draws as well. Good stuff there. Nikita Kucherov, point of game player right now. The plus minus not where you'd like it to be. Once he gets red hot, he's going to be, again, somebody who steals the spotlight for the league. He'll be a top 3 star of the week, that kind of stuff. Yanni Gourde, winning player on a great line, good defensive forward. JT Miller, he's got 10 points through 12 games, but he is a minus 8. Yikes. JT needs to find a home in the defensive zone. Made a great play last night, though, to stop a 2-on-1 and draw a penalty. Tyler Johnson looks reborn. That continues to be a great trend. Call me at game 30 or game 40 in the season. If he continues to skate this way, then we do have a comeback player of the year type performance out of number 9. Steven Stamkos, touched on him, needs to get way better. Ryan McDonagh, haven't noticed him on defense. That's a good thing. And he looks pretty good on the power play too, doesn't he? He looks kind of a natural. Not as good as Hedman, but not bad to fill in a pinch. Andre Palat, he's hurt, incomplete grade, but he's a good defensive forward. Braden Coburn is crazy, man. That dude gets involved in the rush way too much this year, yet he's one of your 7 skaters who is a plus in the plus minus. He is a plus 2. Alex Killorn, through 12 games, 2 goals, 2 assists, whatever. I think the best thing he does is obviously he's in the interior of the power play and he's good at relieving pressure. He just kind of is what he is. Hedman, he's hurt of late, only played 9 games, obviously, so that's why he's down on the point totals. He's got 4 points through 9 games. The minus 3 is it's a little worrisome, but that's a Norris Trophy winner. He's fine. Sergachev, a little bit more physical this year. I said that earlier. Ditto for Anthony Cirelli, who's a minus 4 through 12 games. Anthony Cirelli is one of those players in the playoffs that's going to get a lot of face washes after the whistle, and we need more players like that. Good to see number 71 validate what we saw in his rookie season. Anton Stralman, he is still a top four defenseman, but he's on that borderline of 4-5. This is a big year for him, a big season for number six as to whether or not we're going to re-sign him in the offseason, but solid so far. Adam Ernie, I think that's a winning player. There's just not enough ice time for him yet. Let him continue to develop. Dan Girardi, not real pleased. Moving on. Ryan Callahan. Ryan Callahan looks as fresh as he has since he was traded to Tampa Bay, rather. 2 goals through 8 games, but it's about the grind that he brings. 45 to 50 seconds of grit. That guy turns pucks over in the defensive zone. He wins you pucks. He creates and changes momentum. Good job, Ryan Callahan. Cedric Paquette is what he is. Slater Cuckoo, can we find a home for this guy? Can we sit Dan Girardi for a little bit longer and let 29 play? I would appreciate that. I don't know what the hell the organization has against Slater Cuckoo, but he is a player who can skate up and down the ice. He can control the puck and get the puck out of the defensive zone. Matthew Joseph, got to score a goal soon, but that speed is blinding. Really love what he brings to the table, but I'm done hyping him up for now. And then your 2 goalies, Andrei Vasilevskiy, stalwart, MVP of the team so far through the first 15% of the season. And then Louis Domingue. Stats don't tell the story. His save percentage is .887. That's because he got hung out to dry against Arizona, but he's won you 2 games by himself. So there you have it. Rapid fire for the Tampa Bay Lightning for the week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We play Montreal tomorrow night. We play Ottawa Sunday night. And then next week we play a Tuesday-Thursday schedule. Tuesday against the Edmonton Oilers and Thursday against the New York Islanders. We will talk to you next week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Thanks again for listening.